Newest episode of Room Techers. Matt Fogel alongside Brandon McAdams here today. We haven't gotten you guys an episode in a little while. I know we kind of took a break with the holiday season. You know, finals for Brandon here and for myself. It was just a busy time at work. But we got the new year approaching right now. After Christmas, hope you all had a good holiday. We certainly did. We're back here, so there's snow everywhere.
Yeah, we fully embraced Fully embraced La Liga scheduling.
There's snow everywhere in the world. It's freaking cold. I'm down here in Pittsburgh. I think Brennan's still up in Boston. So we're doing it live from. We just got 4 inches of snow, and now Pittsburgh is in a panic. It's always ridiculous being down here.
They're gonna love it when plows like finally reach Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we're like
hell of an adventure.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, I drove through Erie on the way back down here the other day, and they got slammed. I think they got a total of like 50 inches of snow, and over the last like few days, and it literally looked like some apocalypse shit. I didn't even know how to handle it. Driving back in the Mini Cooper, Bradley. We made it though.
If you still choose to live in Erie, like I don't even. That's basically the equivalent of me, like, living somewhere that gets hurricanes or tornadoes. Like, just move.
Yeah, they just get all the lake effect and wind. The wind's
terrible, terrible place.
So lots of soccer that's happened over the last couple weeks. After our interview with John Krasinski, we gave you guys just a little bit of a look into what's going on in the picture of the EPL right now. In addition to MLS and local soccer, but MLS right now, they did announce the expansion city of Nashville. Cincinnati might have gotten snubbed here, either that or it's just not right now. So Nashville right now looking to play, starting to play in 2020 in the MLS. Detroit and San Francisco still awaiting for that call. That means that, to give you guys an idea, that means LAFC, who was announced as an expansion team a couple years ago, they're going to begin play next season, which means they're the 23rd team in the MLS. Starting next season. Miami FC also in talks for expansion, for being another expansion team too. That's the David Beckham team. And if all those go through, this is all hypothetical, we'll have 28 MLS teams. I think that would be by 2022.
That sounds good to me. I think Cincy's gonna, looking at it now, I think that Cincy's gonna be playing in the MLS in 2020. Mm-hmm. I think that with just the foundation of soccer fans and support that they have there, they might feel not obligated to rush into announcing this, whereas with Nashville, they really want to just start getting after it.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati is announced some point, like this winter or this spring, giving them still 2 years for the 2020 season.
Right, yeah. With Nashville, they've never had that professional team there. They have Nashville SC, but they're nowhere near the level that Cincinnati FC is right now. And speaking of just the skill that Cincinnati currently has and the way that their fans rally around them as a city, it's ridiculous already. So moving that to the MLS is going to be much easier than it will be for National, I think. I mean, I don't know, maybe. But that's the thoughts on that.
That's the thoughts on that.
Like, there's, I mean, with these other cities, there's a good chance that if they didn't get it this year, they're probably going to be waiting a while. Mm-hmm. A while, generally speaking, like 2022 is still a decent ways away. But I just don't think that that's the case for Cincinnati. I think that they're going to keep doing their own thing. They have the grassroots. And really, when they do get introduced to the MLS, they're just going to be changing a couple patches on their jerseys, and their budget is going to go up, and those players can start getting paid.
Yeah, and if you're looking at any team if you're thinking of a team that you could potentially bring up from a lower tier to the MLS, I think the only, like, the most standout team is the Cincinnati FC team. So I'm hoping for the city of Cincinnati that that happens, because there really isn't too much there other than the Reds. And giving them an MLS team might help.
Yeah, I mean... yeah, I mean, I was just about to say the Bengals, but yeah, you're right. It's basically the Reds.
Yep.
Yep.
Although they did beat the Lions this past weekend. That was a thing.
Broken clock.
Yeah.
Blind squirrel.
Yep. going a little across the pond, a little bit more of our realm, EPL talks. I wrote an article, a little bit of a check-in on where we're at now, hitting week 21. For the Premier League, and talked a little bit about the top teams, you know, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man U, City, Chelsea, Tottenham, and where we're sitting with those. And we got a weird season. It's a weird season.
I mean, and really, it's City to blame,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. they have completely run away with this season. Like, I think that half their team would have to be hurt for them to really blow this lead. It would have to be something of epic proportions for them to not see out this season.
Yeah, they'd have to do a really, really bad job. I think that they've solidified the number one spot, and I think that one of the things that I have had a tough time putting into words is that 2 to maybe 6 spots in the EPL this season, each of those teams, we've seen something disappointing from this season, I think. And it's not like a disappointing, like if they had fixed it, they would be competing with Man City, because they're like record breaking right now. They haven't even lost a game, only dropped 2 points in 20. So like, but I mean, I look at Chelsea today, they did beat Stoke very, very handily. And I think that win, that like big win, was very necessary. We've had a lot of 1-0, 2-1s, 1-1 games in the last month and a half now, so we were due for that. But each of these teams, I think I could go through and just be like, they need this, or they did this wrong, or they're drawing too many games, like Liverpool. Tottenham's just like, I don't know what Tottenham is. They've just lost too many games. Their defense isn't as sound as it had been last season. Arsenal's just a whole clusterfuck. Man U, I don't even know what I think of Man U this season.
They might be the most unimpressive second place team I've ever seen. Like, they're like, I mean, every episode we've had, we've been bashing them, complaining about Mourinho complaining about something, and they're still in second place. I mean, they've been pretty much second the entire season. They've been consistently right behind City, even though right behind really means 12 points.
Yep.
Looking at the rest of the top teams, a surprisingly high amount of losses at this point in the season, like already 4 for Chelsea, already 5 for Tottenham and Arsenal. As you mentioned, Liverpool with their drawing problem and just not being able to score, giving up shitty goals. City's been amazing. I think that the reason that they've really been running away with it is that they just haven't been they haven't been bad, whereas these other teams have had two or three games that they were just...
Yeah, there was... I think the beginning of December, Manchester United was up, I think, like 5-6 points over the third-place team. And in their... I mean, obviously, like you said, Mourinho complaining over not spending enough money, which is ridiculous compared to Man City, sure. But they drew to Burnley and Leicester City, who was down a man the whole game. And not to mention the fact that they lost to Bristol City in the League Cup, which awesome for Bristol City. But that's 4-7 drop points. Not League Cup, but that's 4 drop points right there. And they just don't have... Tenacious would be the last word I would use to describe Man U.
Yeah, their midfield's been... Like, tepid, limp,
mm-hmm.
unimpressive mm-hmm. with 100 million. Like, I mean, I know that Pogba's been hurt and he's been suspended, but it's been shocking seeing how, like, they have quality players. I mean, Mkhitaryan
has been a shell of himself. Lindegaard has been really coming into his own as of recently, saving that game against Burnley. But Lukaku's tapered off. It I don't know, like we said at the beginning of this podcast, I mean, back, whatever, 2 months ago, it seems like Mourinho's time at clubs, whereas it used to be like a 3 or 4 season run, is really turning into like, we might get lucky if we get 3 years out of him.
Yep.
And I think that United's just another example of players being burnt out of due to his bullshit. His tactics really haven't changed much in the ever.
Well, people people are
figuring it out.
Yeah, and it really just, I think that just the quality of soccer in general, like throughout the world, has just improved over the last 15 years. That, yeah, they can light up the bottom five of the table, but that middle 10 is playing them pretty damn well. And then the top five are like, all right, well, if you guys come out to play, we're going to wreck you because your defense isn't nearly as good as it appears on paper. De Gea can only save so many goals, so many shots. I mean, like that Arsenal game, he might just whip out 13 saves and that's it. But that's not a Mourinho masterclass. Or that's not his tactics. That's just having probably a top two goalie in the world.
Yep. Well, and they play, by the time any of you listen to this, they'll probably have already been done with this game. But man, you play Southampton right now. Going off of what you just said, they play. I think that Southampton keeps this game a little bit closer than what people think. Southampton's not doing well this season at all. They've conceded a lot of goals. In fact, they've conceded 30 goals this season. But I think Man U takes it. If we're going like predictions right before the game starts, I think Man U takes this 1-2-1.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think that with Van Dijk, by the way, guys, Liverpool got a defender. We have like 1.5 defenders now. One of them can't play yet. But I think that transfer saga, I think that Southampton really regrets not getting that done in the summer.
Yeah, I think they do too. There was to me, from what I understand, it sounded more like an upper management snag, like getting caught up in that and all the logistics behind it, and not letting him go because of how much he was worth. And I think that rather they should have just done what they did the other day, would just be, all right, fine, we're going to accept this.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the bid was the same as it was over the summer, £75 million. Money means nothing anymore. Because he was their captain, he put in some good performances for them this first half of the season, with Ozil and with Alexis and like even like I'm trying to think of other players that transfers kind of just hang over and they just don't want to be there. Diego Costa, still a Chelsea player, a forgotten man. But I think back to the prediction. I think that with this transfer done, I think it's kind of a finally like you finally stop texting your ex.
Yeah,
like you're moving on. I think they're gonna bounce back today, at least with a draw, 2-2. And I'm going to be really hopeful and say that maybe even Southampton next like a 2-1 and we get a world-class Mourinho meltdown.
I was going to say, if Man U loses, will it be because A, the quality of the game was too high for Lukaku, or B, because Mourinho made too many excuses? It's a million-dollar question.
I'm saying that Lukaku gets thrown under the bus, and a ref also gets blamed.
I could see a ref getting. It'll be like one, like one questionable call, and that leads to a goal or a card or something. Lukaku is too easily swayed in a game. I think he gets thrown off very easily.
It's a bit very of easily. I think he's a much better player than this player I'm about to compare him to, but it's kind of like Benteke, where if something doesn't click right away, it's usually like, oh, damn, like he's just going to have one of those games, isn't he?
Yep.
And
yep.
I, I mean, we've watched him play for Everton, and his ability to contribute to the build-up and to move around, and he has a really good pace for such a big fella. It just from the games that I'm from that Burnley game I was watching, it just he just didn't really have it going that day either.
And also, we could be completely wrong, and this will be the game because there is, because Stoke is down or Southampton is down in 15th. We'll see him put in a brace or something like that, and just be the reason that they win.
Oh, of course. We all know that he has quality, but that's no fun to speculate on, and I'm not about to give United the benefit of the doubt in a preview.
No. So looking at like the problems that we're seeing, I honestly haven't watched too much of Tottenham this season, other than like their Champions League games. I've watched their Champions League games, so they've played pretty goddamn well. But in the Prem, they're, in my opinion, underperforming.
It's been Harry Kane for them, really, in the Premier League. Dele Alli's, I don't even want to say regress because he's so young. Like, it's just kind of, he lit the league on fire last year, and now he's kind of just going through a little bit of a slump.
Mm-hmm.
But it really has been Harry Kane.
He's 56 goals in the calendar year for the EPL. Broke the record.
Yeah, and he has close to half of their entire league goals. I'm pretty sure he's sitting on 19 goals right now in the Premier League.
Yeah, he has one less than half.
Yeah, and I mean, that I'd love to I know that the Liverpool Reddit did a Salah FC, and they just broke down how many points Salah would have based off of his goals that directly led to wins and ties. I'd love to see like a Harry Kane FC breakdown Kane would be and where Tottenham would be without those.
It would probably be a lot lower.
Yeah, but that's why you have a world-class striker. He for sure is a world-class striker now. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
solidified.
I think that he's been an unfortunate victim of overhyping British players in the past, that even though he's had 30 goal seasons and he is just an incredible goal scorer, people have really been reluctant to fully embrace that and talk about him. But when you're putting out top goal scorers for a calendar year and he's on top of it and he's ahead of Cavani and he's ahead of Messi and Ronaldo. Like,
that means something.
That means something, and it probably means he's going to be wearing white in another city come next year in sunny Spain. I think he might be out of here because that's just how the world works.
I really hope not. I like watching him play, and I don't want to pay for a BN Sports account. So
my streams have been brutal as of recent.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely brutal.
Yeah, exactly. So, your top four prediction now for the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a given. City's winning this thing. I think that Chelsea straightens their ship. I think that they wrap up second place. I am drinking lots of red Kool-Aid right now. So, I think that they're going to be a little more active in this transfer window. They already got that defender. Hopefully they get a defensive midfielder, and I think that they finally show some consistency to lock down third. And I'm really hoping that Tottenham gets fourth and United implodes. I think Arsenal is going to miss out on the Champions League for another year in a row.
And they'll sign Wenger to another one-year deal.
You see that? They're being linked with Zaha to replace Sanchez.
That's not a bad trade.
Yeah, but like this has Arsenal's starting to remind me of like Liverpool circa 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
And you have quality players leaving and the players that you're getting linked to bringing back in, you're like you try to talk yourself into them being just as good or having the ability to be just as good under the right coaching.
I don't know why none of the teams or the big teams in Europe. This is a very random thought I had the other day. Looking at PSG, why has no one really looked at trying to lock up Lucas Moura from PSG. He's the winger. I don't know if you know him. He's like,
oh yeah, Brazilian kid. Yeah, Liverpool was linked to him before he went to PSG, and I think that this was a couple seasons ago, and PSG spent $40 million on this Brazilian winger from the Brazilian league, and everybody was like, I can't believe they're dropping this much money. Huh. And now it's funny.
He's sick.
There's a number of players on PSG that you can say the same about.
Well, yeah, I mean that, like, now that you have Neymar, Mbappe, Cavani, and oh my god, Di Maria still taking up either the sub or the start over Mbappe in the wing, or Cam. Now you wonder, like, I don't watch the French league too often.
They have Draxler as well.
Yep.
I mean.
Yep.
So, like, I'm wondering. All right, go ahead. I'm wondering, like, where or if Lucas Moura has sort of fallen out at all with that team and why no one's really thought about him.
I agree. And in the same vein, Rabiot there as well. He might be getting a little more time, but
he's so sick.
I don't understand how teams really haven't figured out how to take advantage of release clauses for these teams that are absolutely stacked. I mean, in particular, it's PSG right now. It was Barcelona a couple of years ago before their wage system just got completely out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that I sent you the other day? How Ajax's front three right now has a combined transfer release clause of less than 50 million euros?
Yep.
That's insane.
It's like Kluivert, Kasper Dolberg, and someone else.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at the table right now. Like, why doesn't, like, Southampton or Stoke City or screw it, why doesn't even, like, Arsenal just go, like, all right, we're just going to buy all three of those players right now?
And, like, you just mentioned Southampton. They have so much money.
They just got 75 from us. Like, go out and spend it.
They've been selling players to Liverpool, to fucking everyone for the last, like,
it's basically just been
200 mil they probably have just, like, sitting around.
Adam Lallana, Dejan Lovren, Sadio Mane,
Nathaniel Klein. Didn't Victor Moses used to play them?
Virgil van Dijk. No, we didn't get him from.
No, I know. I think we did.
That's six players right there. I just rattled off the top of my head over the last three seasons that Liverpool's bought from them.
Like,
bananas.
Like, it's ridiculous. Who else? They also. The Ox used to play for them. Theo Walcott used to play. Theo Walcott was really young. Nathaniel Klein, Lovren, like you just said, Colin Chambers was a Southampton player, Luke Shaw was a Southampton player.
So their youth system is legit. It has a very strong track record, and their scouting department is spectacular as well. So
Victor Wanyama too.
Yep. Beast. And in regards to just transfer clauses, the fact that Premier League teams haven't just started raiding Spain where a player legally has to have a release clause in his contract.
Uh-huh.
Like, uh-huh. Legally. I mean, you trigger that, and that player immediately has to go into negotiations with you, and the team that they're with has to renegotiate with the player. And with the crazy TV money that's going around, you can beat them for wages, especially if they're out of the top five.
There's ways around that big spending that we're talking about with a Man City who needs to spend $400 million. It's not that, sure, that club has billions of dollars in terms of worth and value, but like a smaller team like a Southampton, like a Burnley.
Lukaku just got a head injury. He just got stretchered off.
Oh shit.
That's not good.
That's not great.
No, what I was saying is, like, these smaller teams who don't necessarily have the capital that these other big teams have, there are ways, like you just said, like looking elsewhere for that, not necessarily domestically. Like it's nice to be able to, if you're Liverpool, pick from another team in the Premier League who's not as good, who will sell you a player because they can. They're not that good because, you know, they already have that experience, like Man U getting Lukaku from Everton, where he's been in the league for a few years. So, like, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely solutions if you're a lower tier or lower valued club than just like not competing at all or doing nothing about it.
I think that front offices are really still adapting to just how insane these transfer fees have gotten so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people have been around the sport for a long, long time, and it wasn't too long ago that 30 or 40 million was considered an eye-watering fee.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're also seeing lots of stadium changes, renovations, that clubs are just getting their shit in order, and I think that in the next couple of seasons, we're going to see a whole new approach to acquiring talent.
Yeah, and it's gonna be interesting. Like I was like, you guys just acquired Van Dijk, and you've been saying it was like, just fucking pay him, like just do it. And like that was the same thing with, now we're approaching the transfer window in a couple days here. Last time out, Chelsea got Morata. I was like so pumped that we actually did. I mean, I read a ton of the rumors and stuff like that, so I was like, oh my god, are we gonna get Morata or not? Are we just gonna like pass up on it? And we just like did it. Like, we need this money. This is how much it costs in this day and age. Sure, we have it. Let's do it. So now it's like, how are these lower tier teams gonna? Not, I call them lower tier teams. I just mean they're not like the big six worth a billion, like multiple billions of dollars. So like a team like Burnley, now coming into this January transfer window, it's what do you need? Goal scorers probably. So like, how are they gonna do that while still fitting it into that tightly knit Burnley system that's only had a plus one goal differential but only allowed 17 goals? So like, it's going to be really tough to find that.
I wouldn't want to be the man in charge of Burnley's transfer plans this upcoming month.
Yeah, I'd say that's the hardest. This is going to be the hardest. They're the hardest team in the EPL in my head of doing that.
I mean, try to get some depth, like. But then you're messing with your chemistry. Like, are you trying to go get a goal scorer, but maybe he's not going to buy into this whole team system? It's not an easy job. I like to make it sound very easy.
I mean, yeah, I just stick to FIFA, and it works out just fine. It's easy there, so it's got to be easy in real life then. If you're going, we're going to kind of skip around here. If we're talking transfers...
Transfers.
Yeah, what do you want? I'm very content. I'm gonna be greedy, but what does Chelsea need? What's on Chelsea's wish list this transfer window?
So I'm interested to see if Real Madrid tries again to coax Eden Hazard away from Chelsea, because I know that's happened a number of times in the past, and we kind of just said not for sale, that we re-upped his contract. So I think before the season started. So I'm interested to see if Real Madrid makes a move for him, because if that's the case, if they are, and we have an aging Pedro and a Willian who is basically his sub now on the wing with that five-back sort of system with Victor Moses and Alonso's kind of playing middies, they're like holding outside midfielders. So like, if that's the case, I know we were looking at Yannick Carrasco from Atletico Madrid, who, like you just said, I think his like release clause expired or something, so like he only is worth like 50 mil right now, which is, I mean, not a lot for Carrasco. So if I'm interested to see what happens with the wingers, if something happens there, then go for him. But if not, then I think we just need a good fullback. I think Alexandro was a good option from Juventus. They definitely got involved to just drive up his price to like get us out of there, which is some Mourinho shit. So like, I think that if we get there and if we need one player, he's the guy. Or another center back. But Rudiger's been pretty good this season.
So you're like happy with the forwards, like happy with the midfield for the most part?
Yeah, we don't play with like a central attacking midfielder anymore. We kind of just play with those holding midfielders, and either Conte, Andreas Christensen has stepped up a little bit too, and Bakayoko has come in and played pretty well this season. I'll be honest, not as well as Matic. Actually, pretty comparable to Matic. Matic hasn't had the best season this year either. No, he had a really scary first couple games that everyone was like, oh shit, but like. He kind of calmed down, I think, a little bit. So, I don't know. I think because we don't play with that Cam anymore. We don't need an Oscar for those two seasons he actually played soccer. So, yeah, I think that was a fun year in two years. Morata's been playing pretty well. Batshuayi has come in good as a backup. Our wingers are pretty good if we stay the same. Charlie Musonda is this young kid I was telling you about earlier in the season, and he's come in off the bench a few times and really proven himself. So we have a couple young players, academy players, who are doing well this season and getting playing time under Conte. So, yeah, I think if I'm going to have to pick one player that we really, really need, it's an outside back. And I think nowadays too, the fullbacks are, I think, becoming such a bigger commodity than they ever have been.
It's, yeah, they're asked to do probably the most on the field, mm-hmm. in terms mm-hmm. of need. Like, they get torn apart if they're not good defenders, and if they're not pinging in crosses or playing 1-2s like of attacking midfielder, they're also getting crushed.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
When you can find somebody that can do it, you pull a Mancetti and you buy all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, which was really mm-hmm. smart. Now, well, it's like, oh, really shit, smart. There's only
now
a few
like,
left.
Oh, shit, there's only a few left.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Pep does it again. Brilliant.
Yep, brilliant. Yep. I think that I also saw, I don't know if this is for you, for Liverpool, but I know I saw that Leon Goretzka was rumored to be going to you guys. And if that's the case and Chan leaves, do you take that?
Oh yeah, and yep, yes. Like, even if it's on a pre-contract, like if he signs a pre-contract with us in January, Chan does the same with Juventus. Having him and Chiesa come in the summer, I'd be ecstatic.
So what then? One more center back.
One more center back.
Well,
the Matip Van Dijk pairing.
Big picture,
bad.
Or just this January.
This January, sure.
This January.
Or both.
At this point, all right. So even for both, if we can somehow keep Coutinho
uh-huh.
anyway,
uh-huh.
that would like that's. I think that has to be a priority. I know that Salah has been lighting up the. I think he has in hockey terms, he has like 21 points in the Premier League right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. 16, no, I mean probably 22 now because he's had a brace. 17 goals, 5 assists. That's insane. But Coutinho is still our best player, like far and away. You can and he's been playing out of his mind lately, just looking like the world class midfielder that he typically is.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Barcelona's wages are screwed. Like that system cannot work, and I think that Liverpool is in prime position to be like, he doesn't have a release clause. We want we want Neymar money for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that mm-hmm. that keeps him here. Besides that, probably another center back, just because I don't think Liverpool can ever have too many center backs right now. And maybe in the same vein as you, a right back, because I don't think that Arnold Alexander, like I don't think that his future is in the midfield.
No, not at all.
Like he's gonna get moved somewhere. That kid's legit.
Yes, he is.
He's only 19. He played as like an attacking mid for the U23s and just like a central midfielder. And Klopp's kind of stuck him at right back right now. So,
which is good for when you're younger. Obviously, you don't know exactly where you belong. So it's kind of like, let's put you everywhere and see how you do.
I mean, his passing's awesome, and just even watching today, he didn't play. Klopp was doing some rotating, and Joe Gomez, another, I think he's 22 maybe. We got him from Charlton a couple years ago. He was playing right back, and he's a solid defensive player, but his crosses just weren't getting whipped in, or like his long passes weren't just like pinged over the top to somebody's feet, and that's what Trent was offering. So
yeah.
I mean, keep Coutinho.
I mean,
strengthen the back line.
Yeah, but that's you keep Coutinho, and even just what you're getting, even if you make no more moves other than keeping Coutinho in this transfer window, your team's pretty dangerous coming next season. You got Naby Keita in the middle. It depends on what you do with responding to Chan leaving. Because I think Keita will be a good addition, but you got what, him, Lallana, in like that box-to-box slash holding midfield positions. I think you might need one more.
I think, Henderson's just, it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. His injuries are just a reality of his situation right now. So they really don't have like a number, they don't have like a number six, like a Busquets or even like a Mascherano, just somebody who can pull up right in front of that back line and just clears things up mm-hmm. because I still get anxious when teams break towards the back line. I'm expecting somebody to follow the wrong run or not close down the right passing lane.
You're right. Which you should.
Yes.
You definitely should.
It's a wild
ride. Definitely should. So
that would be cool. I mean,
wait, what was your top four? What were your top four predictions?
My top four predictions? So my original top four predictions in the summer before the season started was Manchester City, Man U, Tottenham, Liverpool were my top four. Chelsea at the fifth. Looking at it now, Man City. I'm going to kind of try and stick with what I said. But I don't think Tottenham's going to be there. I think it's going to be Man City, Man U, Chelsea, Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it depends. A lot of that, I think, depends on how Man U go into the rest of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Like I said, if my top four in the beginning of the season was right, I would have been pretty pumped. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe Burnley will bet the top four. That'd be cool.
I hope that they stay. I hope that they like snag a Europa League spot.
Yeah, me too.
I think that'd be awesome. Yeah, for me a too. Team like them.
They deserve it.
They deserve it.
If we're talking top four, we got to be looking at. I know Swansea won today against Watford. I think they beat them 2-1, and that's a huge win for a team who is very much so in last place. Who's getting relegated?
Let me take a look. I think Swans are out of there.
They're currently sitting in 19th.
Yep. 2 points behind West Ham. I think it's going to be West Brom later. Swans. I think Swans are gone. And like the shock of the season to me has been Newcastle being as poor as they've been. I think Newcastle stays up. I think Crystal Palace goes down. I think that Crystal Palace is going to get raided in January by some teams, probably like around like that 9, 10, or 11 spot. Like I think that Zaha might be gone. I think Benteke might be gone. And they'll be back down in the championship.
That would be sad. I don't want to see our good friend Pat, Swansea fan. He was pretty pumped about their win today against Watford. I think that it's weird that Newcastle has kind of just gone quiet. Two seasons ago when Rafa Benitez right at the ending was made manager. And is he still there?
He got relegated. He got there sometime after the transfer window in February.
Yeah.
They were relegated. They spent 1 year in the championship. They bounced back up this season. And it just hasn't really clicked for them. I mean, they're safe by 1 point and by having not, like, a terrible goal differential in comparison. They're negative 11.
I remember them having some decent young talent, and then they sold Wijnaldum. And they had
Sissoko as well.
Yep.
And they got raided when they got it.
Exactly. And then Mitrovic just didn't live up to the hype that he had coming from Anderlecht, maybe? I can't remember where he came from. But Mitrovic just didn't live up to the hype that he had. I know they had a center back who was also projected to be a very good center back too, and it was just like, you have all this young talent, and it just kind of shit the bed. And there wasn't much Benitez could do about it going into the season. And now it's like, oh, they're in 16th. It's like, why? It's like, well, because of all these things. So, yeah, but I think that they survive. I think giving Benitez another transfer window might help them out a little bit. Those middle-of-the-table teams are so different to me. Brighton and Huddersfield sitting in 11th and 12th is so weird to me.
It's, yeah. I mean, the middle is...
They're just like...
Those are the teams
They're just
that,
like...
I don't know.
They're so smartly... Well, Watford, holy crap. I did not realize how many goals they have scored. They scored 30 goals. Which is like a decent amount of goals. more than anyone around them. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't, like, looked too much into Brighton. Huddersfield had, like, that first, what is it, they won their first two games or whatever it was. And, like, so everyone was like, holy shit. They were top for the first, like, two or three games. I think they beat someone 3-0 to start the season or whatever. And, like, their manager is a cool guy or whatever. It was a whole thing. Yeah, it was a whole thing. And now they're kind of just like, oh, we're hovering around 11th, which is like, where are you coming from? That's sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of stinks that it's already at the point of this, because of City, I'm already at the point of wishing for an exciting relegation race.
Yeah.
Like, I want this to get, yeah. I mean, and really there are 6.7 teams within 5 points of one another right now. Mm-hmm. So that could get interesting.
I hope it does.
I hope it does.
I mean, yeah, 13th to 20th, 5 points. And goal differentials all around the same, except Stoke, who has the worst goal differential, sitting in 14th. That's odd.
Yep, they do have the worst goal differential.
Bad run of
things. They do have the worst goal differential.
Question is, will Harry Kane have more goals at the end of the season than the lowest team?
Yes.
You think so? Does he break 30?
Yes.
That's fucking crazy.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Swansea doesn't break 30 goals. Yeah, they're sitting on 13, 21 games played.
13.
That's not great.
It's not great at all.
Yeah, I think Kane breaks 30, and I think Salah gets close. You want to do Player of the Year? Before we leave?
Yeah, Player of the Year. Who are you thinking?
If Kane breaks 30, which I think he will, I think he gets it. If he doesn't and City keeps doing City things, I think it's going to go to De Bruyne.
I think I love watching De Bruyne play. He's literally just all the things that, like, growing up piss me off about learning. Kevin De Bruyne's just so good at those things. Like, turning on the correct foot away from pressure, like making just like the smartest and beautiful passes you've ever seen on the correct foot, like, and not even just assists. Like, I think you and I were watching one game and he just like turned and like in one motion turned and like played the ball like 40 yards down the field to like Sané's left foot, and we were just like, cool, like awesome. Like, what are you supposed to do against that defensively? He's just a very good tactician.
I mean, I think that he has been it so far, but I think that with Kane, like, being British and scoring 30 goals is almost always guarantees a Player of the Year.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's going to be between those two, and I think Salah will be
in the race.
An outside shot if it keeps, like, he'll be a dark horse, but I really just don't see that happening with Liverpool's record.
Yeah, it depends on how you guys attack this second, you know, the second part of the season. So, I mean, yeah, I could see him being definitely in there. Just read a little quote from Pep Guardiola, who's pretty happy about your guys' purchase. He's like happy for you, kind of thing. That's good to know. He said Liverpool took an amazing player. Oh, he basically justified the John Stones. Purchase a while back.
Yeah. Oh, he's breathing easily now. I was like, oh, thank God.
Thank God that paid off.
Thank God that paid off.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think I need to scram. It's I had fun, dude. I'm happy that we're back to chatting soccer.
Yeah, me too. It's been a while. We're going to hopefully get some guests for you guys on the show in the coming weeks. And we've been in contact with a couple people. It's mostly just figuring out dates and getting responses about those things. But we'll be getting that to you guys. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at RoomTekkers, T-E-K-K-E-R-S is Tekkers. Subscribe to us on iTunes, obviously, if you're listening to this on there. Make sure you guys check us out. Keep reading. Check us out on the website, too. Thanks for listening, guys.
See you guys. Peace.